This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson. We're turning now to the dangerous trend of teen vaping. Devices like e-cigarettes and the new brand Juul with flavors like candy cane and gummy bear and a lot of nicotine. Teenagers, even middle schoolers, are getting hooked. You can join the conversation, listeners. Are you a teen who vapes? A parent who's worried about it? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from California to talk about all this is Kate Zernicke. Zernicke, national correspondent for The New York Times. Her recent article is headlined, "I Can't Stop School Struggle with Vaping Explosion." You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Great to have you, Kate.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Also joining me from Boston is Dr. Michael Siegel, a physician and professor at the Boston University School of Public Health, where he focuses on tobacco control. Great to have you, Dr. Siegel.
Hi, Jane.
So vaping is everywhere, Kate, to give us a sense of how widespread it is.
I had school principals say to me that what was striking to them about, first of all, nobody smokes cigarettes anymore. But even when people did smoke cigarettes, what they remembered was it was a certain crew of kids, right? It was a certain bank of lockers, or it was, you know, a certain crowd. But this, they say, is everybody. It's athletes, it's scholars, it's, you know, the kids that you might have seen smoking one day. It's just everywhere. And it's also demographically, you know, it's boys and girls, it's all income levels. It was quite striking to me just how pervasive this was.
And these students, as I understand it, and from your piece, you talk about sort of a new generation of easily concealed devices to vape with. They have a sleek sort of high-tech design. Tell us about them. Some even look like a little flash drive.
Right. So when I think, you know, when all of us first started seeing vaping devices, maybe you'd be in a restaurant or something before they were regulated there, and you would see this sort of funny, bulky device. It looks more like a TV remote, and it would have this big plume of smoke. What new devices like Juul are, they look, as you say, they look more like a thumb drive, and they don't have, there's nothing, it's not like a cigarette where there's a big, you know, where there's something lit and it's smoking on one end. It really does look like a thumb drive. And so the only puff of vapor that you're going to see is when someone exhales. And so what students are doing in class and in school and in class is exhaling into their sweatshirt, into their backpack. So teachers are finding they just don't know what's happening, and they think they see something, but they're not sure. You had that YouTube video in the beginning of your program, mm-hmm. beginning of the segment. This one principal told me about a video, a principal in California told me about a video he'd seen where teenagers actually filmed themselves or had someone film them standing behind an administrator in the school at vaping, and the joke was that the administrator couldn't even see that this was happening. So I think it's the concealability of the new device that's been so hard for schools, but also for parents, because parents don't, you know, parents are looking for the smell of a cigarette, right? They're looking for tobacco. They're looking for something that looks like a pipe. These are things that they might just think, oh, that's a pen or that's a thumb drive with a term paper on it.
Dr. Siegel, e-cigarettes have widely been considered to be safer than traditional cigarettes. Is that true or false?
Well, on the whole, e-cigarettes are definitely safer than regular cigarettes. You know, it's hard to compete with something that kills over 400,000 people each year. There's no question they're safer, but they're still not safe at an absolute level. And I think that the real problem is that the Juul represents a qualitatively different device than pretty much all other e-cigarettes. And the difference is that while most e-cigarettes don't deliver nicotine very efficiently, the Juul actually delivers nicotine in the same way that a real cigarette does. So normally, if you smoke a cigarette, there's a very strong peak of nicotine, and that is what creates the nicotine hit or the nicotine buzz, and then it drops off rapidly. And that rapid drop-off is really what creates the addiction, because it leaves you wanting more. If you use a regular e-cigarette, you know, pretty much any standard e-cigarette that's on the market today, you don't get a nicotine hit. You can't feel the buzz, and it doesn't drop off rapidly. The nicotine in the blood drops off very, very gradually. So there's not a lot of addiction potential, but the Juul is different. The Juul delivers the nicotine with a pretty strong hit. So kids who are using these devices will tell you, yeah, I actually feel a buzz.
So kids are getting addicted to Juul, Dr. Siegel.
So yeah, I think that the Juul, unlike most e-cigarettes, the Juul is potentially addictive. And we're seeing a different type of behavior with these devices. With the earlier, typical vaping devices and electronic cigarettes, we were seeing kids who were mostly using these socially, showing off to their friends, just using it occasionally. But now we're seeing a different pattern of behavior. With Juul, we're actually seeing more compulsive behavior. We're seeing kids who, they're not just running off to the bathroom to do it because they, they want to show off or be rebellious, but because they have to. They feel like they really need the nicotine. We see kids who are actually driving and using these devices while they're driving because they can't get off of them. So we're seeing signs of addictive behavior, compulsive behavior with the Juul that we weren't seeing with the regular electronic cigarettes.
In fact, Kate Zernicki, you talk about in your article that Juul is so ubiquitous that kids have turned it into a verb. And what's so interesting to me is the wide assortment of flavors that are being offered that really should belong in like a candy store. I mean, I'm seeing gummy bear and cotton candy and peanut butter cup and cookies and cream and, the list goes on. Tell us about your reporting on that.
Well, so what Juul will say, the company will say is that those are actually, of course, the critics of e-cigarettes will say these flavors are a direct appeal to students. I mean, what adult is going to, to young people, to adolescents, what adult who's been smoking cigarettes, what 70-year-old who's been smoking cigarettes is really going to switch to gummy bear, right? What Juul says is, no, in fact, this is part of the moving away from a tobacco, from a traditional combustible cigarette. This is part of our intent, that it's really important for an adult who's trying to move away from a combustible cigarette to have a different flavor. But the reality is, mint, maybe, I just think all of these candy flavors, and in some of the other devices we're seeing, some schools talk about this, another device called the Sorin, which looks, one of the models looks like an iPhone. The juice that they put in those, the labels are, they look like a blow pop. So it's a visual appeal to students. And I think, many of the students who I spoke to don't even necessarily, they don't like the taste of a cigarette, but the idea of mango or mint is kind of cool to them.
Here's 17-year-old Christian Toombs of Texas posting a video to YouTube last month to review vaping products that he likes. He also explains why he vapes.
Whenever I think of a vape, I want, clouds. Because the main reason I do, have a vape is because, I want to do, cool tricks with them. Have you ever seen, those vape montages that, are really freaking cool? I've always wanted to, do that, learn those. Learn a jellyfish or learn, the Bane masks.
Let's get Joseph in here from Kannapolis, North Carolina. Hi, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
I am well. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. So I just want to bring to light that these products are still not regulated at all, that the youth of America or whoever's choosing to consume these products are taking huge risks. There's nothing out there, no evidence or documentation to say that there's no health risk to these. Who's to say that the chemicals that they're putting in to give these flavors aren't causing issues?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, where are the parents at? Where are the parents in all this? This is not something that should be brought to our youth and looked as something they should be wanting to do.
Joseph, thank you. Let me get Michael in here from New Orleans. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
This seems to me to be a much ado about nothing because it's an education issue. We've been telling youth of America that drugs are bad, alcohol consumption is bad, nicotine consumption is bad. Why is this any different?
Michael, thank you. Dr. Siegel, why is this any different? Much ado about nothing, Michael says.
Well, I think that the problem here with the Juul really is the risk of addiction. And, having kids blowing smoke rings and that type of thing may all be innocent. And kids who are using it with that kind of a pattern, where it's just for, showing off and as a social thing, that's probably not a very dangerous or destructive behavior. The problem is that there are a lot of kids who are using the Juul and they intend initially to use it in a way that's just a kind of a social phenomenon, but they end up getting hooked and literally they lose control and they don't have control over the behavior and they become addicted. And, the problem with addiction is that in and of itself, it may not be harmful. It depends what substance you're using.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with it, though, is that there is evidence that nicotine does, when you're addicted to it, it does cause changes in the brain, and it can make you more susceptible to addiction in general. And so we worry that somebody who develops an addiction to nicotine later in life might be more subject to a danger to addiction to a more dangerous substance.
I see. Kate Zernike, federal law prohibits the sale of e-cigarettes to anyone under 18, but the vaping industry seems to have a campaign that appeals specifically to the youth. I mean, I'm thinking about our caller's reference to regulation. I mean, the campaigns are not to adults.
That's true. So there was one ad. We didn't mention the story because it ran in 2015, but the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids has it on their website. It's for candy pens, and it's a picture of a laptop, an academic planner, and a little Post-it note and with a to-do list, and the to-do list says, you know, something, homework, band practice, vape time. So the idea is that this is something that fits into your school day. So it's definitely a straight appeal. I want to emphasize one thing that Michael said, which is true. What you heard over and over from kids and from school administrators was that these devices started showing up at parties, and then they ended up on campus. That's something that's different here. And so what the school administrators are left to believe is that the students, that it did start out as a social thing, and now the students are thinking, oh, I can bring it here, partly because it's kind of a gimmick to bring it in school, but then of course it does become something that they need. Mm-hmm. On the question of regulation, the other concern is that the vaping industry got the FDA to postpone by 5 years a rule that would have had them regulating any device that was introduced on the market after February 15th of 2007, which includes the Juuls. So we now have 5 more years of delay before the FDA is going to start regulating these products and going to be required to mm-hmm. approve them. So it's not just about the age. There are other limitations. There are other restrictions that could have been placed on these, or other just simple, you know, regulatory, what
right.
we think are these
right.
safe, and
right.
we haven't done that.
Back to the phones, John in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, John. Glad you're on the air.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I guess I can say I was always one of those kids that was in high school sneaking out the back door, sticking a pen in the door jamb and going out to smoke a cigarette.
Okay.
And it turned out, you know, 10 years later, I quit smoking by vaping. And, you know, it's kind of become a hobby for me over the last couple of years. I've gone down in my nicotine level, but I've gotten more into we have a vaping community here in Dubuque, believe mm-hmm. it or not, mm-hmm. The coil building and things like that.
So it helped you quit cigarettes. John, thank you. Let me get you. I'm running out of time. Dr. Siegel, is there actually a benefit to vaping from people who are trying to cut the cigarettes?
Well, there is. For adult smokers, the advantage of vaping is that it addresses not only the pharmacological addiction to nicotine, but also the physical aspects of addiction. Smoking is more than just addiction to nicotine. There are also behavioral aspects. There's holding the cigarette, the feeling of the oral sensation, the feeling of the throat hit, the psychological associations of smoking and other behaviors. And when you put a nicotine patch on, it gives you nicotine, but it doesn't replace all the other aspects of smoking. So the reason why so many smokers are finding vaping is an effective way of helping them quit is that it does replace these other aspects of the addiction. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, because while vaping products are really a benefit to adult smokers, there are risks for youth. And the Juul is a particular double-edged sword, because what makes the Juul so effective for adults, which is the fact that it does deliver nicotine in the way that cigarettes do, which means that many more adult smokers are finding the Juul satisfying and
right.
are able to quit smoking using it. But that very same principle that makes it effective with adults makes it much more problematic mm-hmm. for youth.
Let me play this. Mike Stock, he's the dean of students at Naperville High School in Chicago, told the Chicago Tribune in February that vaping is a growing problem among his students.
We've just seen a great increase of the number of students that have been found to be using or possession of these devices from the last 3 years combined. We've far exceeded those numbers this year, and we're still only in February. More students are exposed to it, more students are seeing it, being around it, and using it than we think, is what I truly believe.
Kate Zernike, I'm reading in your piece about schools installing vaping detectors in the bathrooms. Tell me what schools are doing to combat this, and many moving from punishment to intervention at this point.
Yeah, so we've had schools doing the things that they probably might have done with cigarettes, such as closing bathroom stalls or closing bathrooms entirely, putting monitors at bathrooms. Some schools have looked into installing vaping monitors, like a smoke detector. But I think a lot of schools are now recognizing that this is an addiction. I think, you know, what they're trying to do is they feel like we were very effective at educating students against the dangers of traditional cigarettes. We weren't great about talking to students about nicotine addiction. So they're trying to do more education around vaping for students, but also for parents, because parents, as I said earlier, don't mm-hmm. necessarily know what to look for. But I think they're also, you know, for some students, they're trying to get them. I mean, what was amazing to me was this one school offering students, you know, a patch or, you know, some other device that we would have seen to withdraw from mm-hmm. smoking.
Dr. Michael Siegel, you get the last word. What do you want us to know about vaping today?
Well, I think it's important that parents understand that there really is a difference between vaping and juuling. And, you know, 6 months ago, mm-hmm. I would say that the vaping problem among youth was not very, you know, not a terrible problem. Kids were doing this in an innocent kind of social way.
Right.
I think the juul has changed the landscape, mm-hmm. and the juul really is an addiction risk. And kids who are using it are becoming addicted. The pattern of use has changed. And so I think that parents really need to be aware of this juul device. And we need to find a way to try to kind of, I think, educate kids.
What we were trying to do today. And Dr. Siegel, I so appreciate your time there from Boston University. Kate Zernike from the New York Times. Terrific piece turned us on to this. Listeners, thanks so much to you. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point. Thank you.